not woke. Make that clear. Awake, not woke.
Hello, and welcome to Awake Not Woke podcast. My name is Sarah, and in this episode, we are going to be talking about a subject that Chas and I hold very close to our hearts, and that is witchcraft. So stay tuned for information about our journeys, information about different types of witches, different types of witchcraft, ritual versus folk magic, and a few tips on how to practice some magical techniques yourself. So that's all in there. We are not going to be providing any like history lessons or anything this time around, because that is a whole different episode in itself. This is just witchcraft 101 from our perspectives and a quick onboarding of information so you know what we're talking about in the future. Like I've said before, these early episodes of Awake Not Woke podcast are going to be umbrella episodes, is what I like to call them. And we're going to have a lot of them that cover very, very broad subjects all over the place. And we're going to make more specific episodes in the future. So stay tuned for that. You should follow us on Instagram at Awake Not Woke Podcast. We also have a Twitter at Awake Not Woke Pod on Twitter. But definitely follow us on Instagram. It's the easiest way to get in contact with us. If you ever have any questions, comments, concerns, revelations, anything you just want to tell us, I want to hear it. So send me a DM. We also have a website that has a contact page if you'd prefer to email us at awakenotwokepodcast.com. And I think I'm also supposed to be reminding you guys to leave us a review or a rating on Apple Podcasts. I don't know if Spotify does it. If there is ratings on Spotify, do that. But I don't know if I've found it yet. But definitely Apple Podcasts. I know Podcast Addict has some rating features. So just go see if there's some stars that you can give us or a great job comment somewhere. That would be amazing. And I'm just so excited for all the future things to come. And if you're listening to this right now and it's earlier than like August 2021, you were here so early in this journey, and I'm so excited that you're here. It's going to be so exciting. There's so much more to come. And yeah, I'm just so glad you're on this journey with us, and I hope to hear from you. So follow us on those socials, leave us a review, help us grow, help other initiates find us just like yourself. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode, Witchcraft 101, and enjoy. Hello, welcome to Awake Not Woke podcast. I am Chas, and I'm here with Sarah.
Sup.
And today we are going to be discussing witchcraft. So we're mostly going to be discussing kind of our experience with it together, but also with our personal, you know, individual experiences. We're not going to get in too much to any history or origin facts or anything like that. That might be a future episode. So it's going to be a pretty general episode just on how witchcraft has impacted our spiritual journeys and lives and how we incorporate it into the everyday and how we want to share that with others. So it's going to be pretty cool. Get your witch hat and your wand and some sage, and let's do this.
Yes. So witchcraft, the term witchcraft and the word witchcraft can definitely conjure very different images depending on what perspective you are coming from. I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But that's like not totally what we're talking about. It actually has pretty much zero basis in real witchcraft whatsoever, except for like wands are a thing.
And spells.
And spells are a thing. But other than that, like all the spells, none of them have really a lot of historical. There is a lot of symbolism in Harry Potter, but it's like a different episode completely. It has nothing to do with real magic. It's not like... Yeah. Shooting stuff out of your wand and magic frogs and stuff like that. Like,
right.
That's not the point. But real witchcraft is a practice that many people use. And when you start practicing yourself, you realize just how many people use it. And there's degrees of people using witchcraft. So witchcraft isn't just... like wands and cauldrons. It's not just that.
Right.
Witchcraft encompasses things that a lot of people wouldn't think are witchcraft right off the bat. But when they learn the history of them, they start to see that it is this manipulation of energy. And that is done through physical means that represent energetic forces that we are trying to manipulate. And whatever that looks like, it's still witchcraft to me.
Yeah.
I find myself looking at stuff going, that's witchcraft all the time. And not in a joking way. Like self-help things, mantras. That's it's witchcraft.
Witchcraft is energy work because it's all, like you were just saying, manipulation Reiki. It's all witchcraft. I think that witchcraft has a very well-known connotation, and it's not always for the best because of things like Hollywood's religions, even just history and how witches have been viewed in the past.
Right.
I mean, Salem witch trials, yes. All of that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, and I wanted to just... take this moment to reiterate that we're not here to do a history lesson in this episode. That would be a super fun episode for the future. But for these first episodes of Awake Not Woke, Chas and I wanted them to be very introductory and casual and broad. That will open up the floor for more and more specific episodes as we go forward. So I want to make clear that... we understand a lot of these concepts, but we would need to do some extra research to provide you with accurate information for things such as dates, names,
right.
History, stuff like that. And that is something that we love and we're going to do in the future. But until then, we have lots of sources that you may use to do your own research, as we've said in the past. And we hope you enjoy these umbrella episodes as something that... is our perspective and our lens that we are giving to you. So when we talk about witchcraft and the Salem witch trials and all these historical things, there's also a lot of cultural magic, and there is Native Americans and voodoos and voodoo magic, which is a whole voodoo and hoodoo is a whole religion,
right.
And cultural magic in New Orleans, and there's African folk magic
and paganism.
There's Cuban and there's Mexican magic. There's just so much cultural stuff there, and we are not here to give a lesson on that today, but I just want to recognize the importance of knowing the history of what
for
you're
sure.
practicing. There is definitely no harm in doing some energy work, some mindfulness, some research into herbs and making certain teas that might help you feel a certain way. I think these are some practical witchcraft tips, which we'll give you more in detail later on in this episode. These are all great. I'm not saying you have to like spend a month reading about all this stuff to do these things. I say dive right in, but do put in some effort.
For sure. And it is important to know the history and where what you're doing starts from. And I think there's a certain level of respect, I feel anyway, especially for ancient rituals and even just outlooks.
Absolutely.
That have really heavily shaped how I view witchcraft and my spirituality altogether. So definitely do your research, know what you're doing, but don't be afraid to start because magic is everywhere all the time. And yeah, we'll get into some of our what we consider tips, I guess, to get started.
And
a
our experiences.
Later.
Yeah, yeah. Because we have done a lot of research into this personally. Chas has had some historical and family history with witchcraft and Wicca, which is a religion. Witchcraft is kind of an umbrella term that encompasses really anything, in my opinion, that involves energy work, herb work, anything that really involves manifesting, putting intentions out there. There's folk versus ritual magic, which I think are like two kind of sub genres within that, that a lot of things can fit within.
Yeah.
And we can talk about the difference between those two things as well. But between our two perspectives and our research that we've already done, we think that this perspective can help you on your spiritual journey and help you in a more practical way that some things might not provide. Like self-help things can often be like, just think good about yourself, you know? You just be positive and things will come to you. And it's like, okay, but how do I get myself to work up the amount of energy to maintain these positive mantras? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where am I cultivating this energy? And I feel like witchcraft is the thing that introduces the shadow side, and it introduces the idea of mixing and culminating these two energies together, and that yin and yang, and that karmic energy, universe, woo-woo spiritual vibe. It takes that and puts it into a matter that is physically manipulatable, and that physical manipulation represents energetic and future spiritual manipulation.
Yeah. One thing that I really love about witchcraft is it gives me a tangible way to practice what I'm feeling spiritually. So whether that's folk magic, whether that's ritual magic, whether that's energy work, it's giving me, I'm a very kinesthetic person. I need to do something before I know it or feel comfortable with it. And I'm also a big feeler. So witchcraft allows me to combine the feeling or energy that I feel behind certain things and express them on this physical plane. So yeah.
Yeah, it also kind of gives, for people like me who need to test the waters and kind of prove to myself that this thing is real, it gives you a way to do that.
For sure. And some guidance, honestly.
Oh, for sure. And as much as I do believe you have to believe it, you can't just go into this going, yeah, this is bullshit, I'm going to prove it to you. Then you're going to prove that it's bullshit. You know what I mean?
But well, that's all you'll find.
Right, exactly. But if you go into this saying, I'm going to prove this to myself, I think this is going to work, and then it works, that is ultimate satisfaction. And oh my God, Chas and I have some stories, and we'll get to that in a minute. But
before we move on, I do want to say something about manifestation since you brought it up.
Okay.
So I feel like manifestation is definitely a form of witchcraft. It kind of combines spell work along with intention and energy manipulation.
And even like synchronicities.
For sure.
They seem on accident, but when you realize you've been putting that energy out there, you realize
you create your own reality. Yeah. Manifestation is a tool that you are using right now, whether you know it, realize it or not. And it's important to know that you're doing it all the time because it's powerful. It's probably one of the most powerful tools that we have and forms of magic that we have. And all of us have access to it. So you have to be specific when you're manifesting something, which we'll get into like spell work and all that maybe a future episode. But when I'm manifesting something, I mean, I've manifested jobs, houses, friends, advances, like as far as relationships and like different evolutions in those. I mean, like I've manifested so many things. And
a lot of those were on accident. A lot of those were without any conscious spell work involved.
I remember the house before this one, my husband and I rented it. And I remember when we were house searching for a rental, we had looked at townhouses and apartments, and I saw this house and I was like, no, this is it. This is my house. we pulled up and I was like, this is it. Well, 4 days later, not even, we ended up getting approved and got the house. So that was my first, like,
in 2020, it, no less. Which right. Was, and before everything got too before everything got expensive. Crazy.
So it was just incredible. And that's just one example of something that I think I was intentionally putting it out there for myself, but I wasn't thinking about it as I am manifesting right. this. It wasn't until after it happened that I was like, holy shit, I manifested that. And it's an example of our power that we all have. One thing that I like to do when I'm manifesting is I don't like to put it out there like, oh, I wish I could find this house and it's going to be perfect for me. I can't wait. You know, I wish I could do this. I just say my perfect house is out there. It's mine and I'm going to find it and it's going to be awesome. And then when you find it, you know, it's like an inner knowing. So just you said manifestation and I do feel like that is such a crucial portion of witchcraft for me. And I think right. potentially for a lot of people too.
And I mean, for sure, there's that just putting that energy out there. You can make vision boards. There's like the things called petitions, which you kind of write down your intention and put it out there and then let it go and like let that energy cultivate on its own.
Dream spells.
There's so many different ways of explaining that. Something I just wanted to explain real quick again is that folk versus ritual magic. Let's clarify that a little explicitly here for a second. From my understanding, folk magic is going to be the realm of herbs, of mixing herbs, of putting herbs in spell bags. I believe voodoo and hoodoo fall under this folk magic umbrella. It's going to be the making voodoo dolls, making sachets to carry with you, having necklaces that have certain herbs in them or certain crystals. These are all different forms of folk magic. So it's just kind of magic that has been created by people and it works because people have done it for a long time. And that's ritual magic too. But for folk magic, it's kind of more ancestral. It's going to be more personal. Sometimes yeah. there used to be magic passed down in families.
Well, it's drawn down from the collective because it's so old and there's been so many people that have added their portion to this collective, like
the collective unconscious library, yeah.
Yeah, of witchcraft. That's
or
why
the
it works
records,
too.
They're all, for it's sure. all the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you have that much history of people putting effort and energy into that, it's definitely going to get more powerful as time goes on, I feel
for
like.
Sure. Oh, for sure. And even we can get into why some of these things work. There are some herbs in witchcraft that have medicinal properties as well as metaphysical properties. And the metaphysical and medicinal properties often coincide pretty pretty straightforwardly. You know
talked
what I
about
mean?
St. John's wort, I think, yes, the last episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even like basil and holy basil and or tulsi is another name for yeah. it, is a herb that's supposed to promote positivity. And basil is also a herb that is something that's good luck. It attracts wealth. It gives you courage in a metaphysical sense. It's going to be something that if you are doing kitchen magic or kitchen witchery and you're making a pesto, you can infuse your intention into that pesto. And then when you carry it with you and eat it for lunch that day, you can have the courage to do that interview later yeah. on in the day or something like that.
You saying that to kitchen witchcraft, it's okay, like when your mom would bake you cookies and you would ask what's the secret ingredient, they
love.
Would always say love. But that yeah. shit's legit.
No, it
because
is.
Because really, like, that's what it is. They're putting God into it. They're putting love into it.
No, thyself said that one time and they were talking about when they like left college and they would make food and they're like, what's missing? Why does this suck? There's no love in it.
It's
they made
fucking
it without
true.
Love.
It's true. It's true. And mom, if you're listening, I definitely notice that your cookies are way better than mine.
Nice. So yeah, that's and that's folk magic, and then ritual magic is still something that has been created over time, but I think of it as something a little more structured and a little more passed down. So I kind of consider it more by the book, I guess you could say. But it's also just the structuring of a dedicated time frame to do a certain magic sequence of events, whether that's through meditation, yoga, visualization, movement, energy focus, energy work, whatever you're doing in that ritual form, it's planned out ahead of time and you know exactly what you're going to do and you know what you're going to do in what order and what you're going to say and there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
A really good book about ritual magic is Abram Mellon by McGregor Mathers. That's not the whole name of the book. It's like the book of, I don't know. It's something Abram Mellon by McGregor Mathers is the one who translated it. You can find it on Amazon. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes if I remember. But it's got just like pages and pages on how to do this very specific ritual that involves a specific house facing a specific direction, yeah, with windows facing a specific direction. You have to like put sand on the floor. And you have to have a balcony that faces a certain direction and you're summoning like all these demons and they're supposed to summon their like in person and it lasts like 9 months or something.
It's
really intense. There's like that kind of rituals. And then I always think of like Golden Dawn and Freemasonry. These are like your ritual magic, the magicians. And
dude, even fucking church ritual magic.
Yeah. It's more exoteric.
For sure. But it's still like point, ritualistic. And sure. It's a practice. I mean, it's something you're doing once a week. You raise your vibrations with music. You have dedicated time for spell work or prayer and meditation. You share energy with others. There's prayer lines. Like, it's everywhere. Okay. Sorry.
No, that's a great representation of that, especially since it used to be more esoteric.
Yeah.
And now it's just the ritual without the actual understanding of what they're doing. And you're right. That's why church has singing and stuff like that, mm-hmm, and plays and all this theatrics, because that is necessary to cultivate that energy in a ritual, but then they all don't know where they're directing it. So whoever does know where it's directing is the one who has all the power in that situation. But in general, under folk magic versus ritual magic, I kind of consider people who are like, I'm a witch, and witches are under that folk magic. They might practice more ritual magic too, but if you identify as a witch, you're going to lean more towards that folk magic. And if you identify as a magician or a warlock or someone who practices ritual magic or an occultist, you're going to lean more towards the ritual magic side. And that's just a generalization that doesn't go across the board. I always considered myself someone who was a witch and was more of the witchy folk magic stuff, but I found ritual magic and I'm really interested in that too. So
we're like occult witches.
Yeah. And occultism, again, is a very generic term. It just means the unseen and the magic that underlies everything, the source energy.
Right.
So occultism is a very generic term. And when someone identifies as a cultist, I feel like in general, they're going to be using that term because they're more of a ritual magic side. But at the end of the day, we're all doing the same shit. So it doesn't really matter what you call yourself. But let's get into some of our personal experiences because, oh my gosh, we have so many. So let's start at kind of the beginning of our witchcraft experience. Do you want to say anything about like your experience before you met me? Because my story starts when we were doing tarot.
Yeah. So witchcraft has been a part of my life for quite some time, probably around 10 years or so. I wouldn't say that I practiced solely for 10 years by any means, but as far as how long I've known about it, how long it's been a part of my life, it's been for the last 10 years or so. So I was introduced to witchcraft through she's not really my aunt, but she's like my godmom. And it was her friend who definitely did identify as a witch, like full out. I love both of them, but I loved my aunt's friend. And she ended up passing away several years ago. But she was a super influential part in my journey to witchcraft. She made my first wand for me. She did a protection spell for me. That was my first introduction to spell work. She asked me to send her a picture of me and like a piece of my hair. And I mailed it to her and she did a protection spell on me. And that was that. So she was a huge part in my introduction and how I viewed witchcraft at the time and really how I view it now. She hooked it up with like her knowledge on spell work, casting circles.
I know you have all those papers.
That's
from
what
her.
I brought to
circle spell is from your aunt.
Yeah. So it's very cool. And I really, really loved it. And then I eventually got more in depth with it with a friend who ended up living with me for a period of time when I was living with my parents. And that was when I first started practicing. We did everything from tarot to kitchen magic, making moon cookies, meditating, casting circles outside, crystals, cauldrons. I mean, you name it, we had it all. Pretty much all of my tools that I have right now are from that time period. And it's just, it's very cool. But yeah, it's been a part of my life for a really long time. And when I met you, I feel like it got reignited and intensified to a level that I wasn't expecting. I think a lot of that had to do with just the relationship that we have, but also my current outlook and maturity and a lot of things. Because when I was young too, I very much viewed witchcraft as this whimsical, like unknown. It was very attractive, especially considering my super religious upbringing. I wanted to do something totally opposite of that. And that was a very good lead-in and a good source of knowledge and experience, I guess. But when we met, like I said, it leveled up.
Yeah. And when we met, I, in contrary to what you experienced growing up, I didn't necessarily have a super religious upbringing, but I somehow just didn't stumble upon witchcraft like at all growing up. I was interested in dreaming, lucid dreaming, hypnotism, later drugs, and altered states of consciousness. And those were where my interests went. And I didn't even do them that many drugs or anything like that. I was just never came across witchcraft. I had come across like meditation and stuff like that. But when, again, if you have listened to the first episode, our spiritual journeys, I talked about when I first realized crystals made sense in a logical way. It wasn't just a pretty rock. That was when my mindset changed on spirituality and I really started taking spiritual concepts more seriously. And I remember when I had first moved out into our little house that we had, and I was watching some YouTube video about a guy who was like interviewing witches in the LA area. And he interviewed Dylan, which was a podcast we had listened to a lot back in 2019 or so, yeah. Which was The Witch and the Medium. And they have pretty good content for witchcraft, and they are very practicing witches and mediums. They have a lot of occult knowledge for that kind of stuff. It is from a slightly woke perspective, in my personal opinion, at this point in time, but it is still good information on their pages and on their socials. But that's when I had started really considering that witchcraft was a viable option. I had already known about tarot and we had already been doing tarot, but that was when I was like, no, I want to get a spell book. Like, right. I want to start doing spells. Like, I had never even considered tarot as witchcraft. I up until that point, I really didn't even know that. And I remember you bringing your little cauldron over, and even then I didn't like we called it Witchy Wednesday, but it was like we never really dove into actual witchcraft. And then after we had a falling out during that time, I really had to go through a dark night, and that forced me to realize the imbalance in my life And that's when I really started researching witchcraft. Yeah. And that leads us to 2020 and the Red Pill Walk and all that. And that really shifted my perspective to a dramatic level. And witchcraft became a huge part of my life. But anyway, I was saying when I met you, I was very vocal about this because I that's just how I am anyway. But it kind of like launched you back into it because for sure. I was like, hey, by the way, do you know anything about this? And you're like, actually, yeah, I do. And I'm like, oh, good. That's cool. I'm reading all this shit. And that's when we really, really started reconnecting. And yeah, so tarot was the first big thing. And then it was reading. So if you are interested in this at all, you have to do the research. I read Encyclopedia of Witchcraft by Judica Iles. I didn't finish the whole thing, but it's got so much information in it. I still reference it. She's got another book that's like 5,000 spells, which is really fun. A lot of the spells are very impractical, but it's a very good source to understand what spells could be and how versatile they can be. And at this point, I just create my own and don't really use it anymore, but it's a great reference when you're starting out. The book Psychic Witch is really great if you do not want to invest in a lot of materials at first. It's all about energy work and meditation and mindfulness and focusing your energy and becoming aware of the energy, because you can't work with it if you don't know it's there anyway. And if you don't, you can, but you won't feel if it's working. You know what I mean?
I feel like I definitely, if I had to identify as any certain type of witch, which I think that we'll cover at some point, I think psychic witch would probably be the most accurate for me, with like a sprinkle of folk witch.
Yeah, for sure. And then on YouTube, I really enjoy Hearth Witch and Witch of Wanderlust, Adela Levine, again, part of the Witch in the Medium. All fantastic, very...
Mystic Dylan.
They're all very powerful witches in themselves. Again, not till I, if they hear this one day, no offense or anything, but from my opinion, I do believe it is slightly woke, and I as a wake not woke, I have to provide that disclaimer to our listeners. But I think, again, all perspectives are valuable. So,
and every woke has a little bit of
every
awake.
Woke has a little bit of wake, and all their shit is, again, very useful. Yeah. I still use the petition video from Witch of Wanderlust on how I do all my petitions. I still use a lot of information I learned from Witch in the Medium and Adela Levine.
Like, I still use Adela Levine's. I took a journey class online with her, and I still use some of the tools that she used in the meditation often. She's great.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind going forward with all of these. A witch is just somebody who practices magic. It's not gendered at all. It has nothing to do with gender. And also, there is magic with a C and there's magic with a CK. So let's just clarify that real quick. Magic with a C is pretty much just exoteric magic. So a lot of sleight of hand magicians who do the card tricks and shit, that's magic with a C. Or CGI, AI, Harry Potter stuff, that's magic with a C. Magic with a K is esoteric magic. It is energy magic. It's witchcraft. It's ritual magic. It's the magic we're talking about. So let me tell my story about my first ritual that I ever did. And then let's tell our story about the first ritual we did together. Okay. Yeah. And then we'll talk about our wands, because I know you have some stuff. You talked a little bit about your aunt making your wand, but I have a wand story too.
Yeah.
But the first story I want to talk about is the first time I did a magic ritual on my own that I really took seriously. I stayed up late and I waited for everybody to go to bed, and I went out to an area on a back porch in the middle of the night outside, and it was lit up by just one little light bulb. I laid out a blanket. I laid out my cauldron. I got my wand. I got incense. I got candles. I got crystals. I got the whole works. I got it all laid out, and I consecrated my wand, and I consecrated my book of shadows. So to just let's just, we didn't talk about like what a Book of Shadows is for a second. Let's just cover that for a second. So in traditional like Wicca witchcraft, and Wicca is again a religion that was established in like the 80s or like 60s or something. It's not that old. It's maybe in the, even the 30s, but in the
1900s. Yeah, I really don't know.
It was in the 1900s. I'm almost certain, but it's developed upon pagan beliefs. So it's ancient beliefs, but the religion of Wicca is not ancient. So just to clarify that, but a Book of Shadows is essentially a book of magical writings and magical, it's a magical diary of sorts, a magical bullet journal, if you will.
Yeah.
Something that a witch or a magician would keep as a reference for spells. You can put references for words that you might use on a frequent basis. I like to have pages that are just things that I reference often, moon phases, herbs in their correspondences. And then I also just record tarot readings in there. I record, if I do any spells, I do that in there. So that's what a Book of Shadows is. So
I like to like journal in mine too and record dreams in it. It's kind of just one of those.
And you can have more than one.
For sure. And it's something that you use for yourself. It could be something that you make to pass down to future witches. Ultimately,
which is more of a grimoire, but. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, a grimoire is like.
Close enough. Yeah.
It's a form of a Book of Shadow in a way. Sure. But one thing that my first Book of Shadows I made myself. So it doesn't have to be this like perfect, beautiful leather bound journal, although those are great. And I prefer those just because it adds a little oomph. But yeah. The first one I ever made was like,
it can be a binder. A lot of people like binders.
Or like a spiral notebook. I like literally took like binder paper, made covers with like twine and like put a pentagram on it and then like tied twine in the holes. And like, that was my first Book of Shadows.
Nice.
I still have it. And then eventually I got one from a festival that was the leather bound, beautiful,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's basically just a place where you record your practice, your experiences, your revelations, all of that.
And then when you consecrate something, it is basically ritualistically determining that this tool will be used for magical purposes.
For sure.
So
it's charmed.
Yeah. So I set out to do this ritual to do that. And then for context, it was spring of 2020. And at the time, I was becoming aware of the reality of the conspiracies and red pill information. And that was when I began to be more conscious of how I'm getting food and making sure I was secure with food and making sure that if there was something to happen, that I was able to feed myself. If the grid were to go down or anything crazy would happen, I'm no like prepper by any means, but it was something that was on my mind, you know, something I had never considered before. And then I realized it was honestly a real possibility. When the power goes out, all your food goes bad. If it doesn't come back on, what do? You know what I mean? And I just never considered how big of a possibility that was until 2020, and I'd started thinking about all this stuff. So with that context in mind, I did this ritual and I aligned my Book of Shadows and myself with divine truth that night. And I had a lot of anxiety. I really wanted it to go perfectly. I consecrated, I cast my circle, which is just involving using your wand or your energy or your hand or an ethame, which is just a ritual knife, to energetically project a protective circle around your work area. And then I proceeded to consecrate my tools with different candles and different incense and different crystals and different energy. I think I spent like an hour out there. Then I cleaned up, went to bed, felt okay about it. I remember you like gassing me up because I was like not super enthused about it, but you were like, no, it went great. And then the next morning I was out in the back by like underneath the porch where I had just performed the ritual. And I was just walking around back there smoking a bowl. I walk underneath, directly underneath where I had just performed this ritual, just to see if like any incense ash had fallen through or anything, or any candle wax or anything. I don't even know why I thought it I would have looked. And I find a fucking stuffed, it wasn't even stuffed, it was like a toy chipmunk squirrel thing. And it was like a little, I can't even describe it. If you could imagine, just like about the size of your palm, like not that big, maybe the size of a small chipmunk, like very, very small chipmunk. Like a baby chipmunk. I don't know. Is that not a good reference for normal people?
No, I think you're describing it great, like in a lot of detail.
Okay, but like it was so weird though, because it was the only reason I'm describing it in so much detail is because it was very old fashioned looking.
Yeah.
And when I found it, at first I was like, huh, weird. And again, for context, we're staying with my boyfriend's family because we're saving money, blah, blah, blah. So I assumed immediately it was something of their shit. And I didn't think anything of it, but it was directly below where I had done this ritual. Yeah. So again, it was very old fashioned. It had like wooden feet. Like it wasn't like a stuffed modern squirrel or anything like that. And it was just so strange. So I kept it. I sent a picture to my boyfriend. He's like, what the fuck is that? He's like immediately put off by this thing. He's like, I don't like it. Where did that come from? I show his parents. They have no idea where it came from. It's heavy enough where it's not picked up by the wind. And it was underneath where I had done this spell. And I was like, where the fuck did this come from? I set it somewhere outside. It disappeared.
My God.
I still don't know where it is to this day. My boyfriend brought it up recently, actually. And he was like, I lost a cable at Chas's house recently. And I lost my mind looking for this cable. And my boyfriend was like, it's like that squirrel you found. It's just going to be gone forever. Because it literally just disappeared. And I was like, I'll give you $100 if you could find it. And he can find everything. He knows where everything is in that whole place. And he could not find it.
So weird.
So that was insane. But the weirdest part is I was like, what could this possibly mean? Could it have anything to do with the spell that I did last night? There was a lot of like energy flowing and stuff like that. I look up what the symbolism of a squirrel could mean. And the first thing that pops up is stocking for the winter.
Which?
And it was like spring going into summer and the fall, which was what I was dreading because everyone was talking about how bad the winter was going to be. And
right.
It was just a weird, confusing time for me. And it gave me the clarification that I was aligning myself with truth. And the truth that I believed could be possible was not something to be shamelessly afraid of. You know what I mean? Not that I'm afraid of anything really, but it was just confirmation that stocking for winter and stocking for an emergency is a smart thing to do, and that the energies that were flowing that night filled with truth left me a sign that the stocking for winter and the squirrel energy was with me.
Hell yeah.
So that was crazy. And that was really powerful. And just the fact that it disappeared too, and all my thoughts about could it be spiritual? I don't know. And then it just disappears. I'm like, fuck, well, guess it was. I also live in a place that is very surrounded by nature. And when we first moved in, I felt a lot of energy watching me. And I always joked that I believed there was fairies there. My boyfriend's family, his stepmom really loves fairies. And she has like signs around the house that say like, don't fuck with the fairies, and like, fairies welcome. And I'm like thinking about that, thinking my boyfriend has a garden. He tends to a garden. We feed the animals around this area. We're surrounded by wilderness. I think there's fairies watching us. And I talked to my boyfriend about it, and he was like, I kind of felt things watching us too. And eventually this energy kind of fades away, but just strange things happen around this area. So the squirrel and the weird little whimsical stuffed classic looking squirrel was just very apt to everything.
Yeah.
That I could have experienced in that location. Let's talk about our first ritual together. So that's a very big story in itself.
We had prepped for this for probably about a week or two.
We had a Google Doc.
Yeah, I mean, like, we were going in hard.
Yeah, we had so many pages of notes. We had so much planned. We cast a circle. We were out there for hours. We were doing so much stuff. We were just pretty much aligning ourselves with truth and putting out there that we wanted to be on truth our spell. Own true paths. Yeah. Oh my God. It was very intense. And we were going to call upon a few archangels to direct us on this spell. And that's like some heavy energy there. We were like not
we
sure.
We were just like casually yeah. going to do
Tell
this.
Tell your story about the coin.
Yeah. So I got this coin at a festival probably about 10 years ago. And it just has like a peace sign on the front. And it says something on the back that No, it actually doesn't say anything on the back. It just has a peace sign on the front.
Yeah, it's just like an imprinted.
And yeah. I remember probably about 2 years ago, I was doing this very, very deep meditation. And in this meditation, I'm a very visual person when I'm meditating. So I see a lot of things. And I saw a massive angel wings like kind of scoop me up. And I was just basking in these angel wings. And then after the angel put me down, he placed a coin in my hand and it was this peace sign coin. And I was like, oh my God, I know that coin. That's my coin. Well, I went to look for it. Couldn't find it. Hadn't found this coin for 2 years.
And you have a bag of crystals and you dumped out this bag.
Several times. I kept it within all of my other witchy stuff, if you will. And it's
Have you ever looked if there's a hole in the lining of that bag?
I did. I dumped it entirely out. I turned it inside out. I mean, I checked under couches. I checked everywhere. I had moved from one place to this new place where we were doing this ritual. So I just assumed that it was gone. And I told Sarah this and
right
then,
at your rental house.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when we went out to do the ritual, we were pouring out all of our crystals, setting up, out comes the fucking coin.
And what had happened just moments before
oh my
you
God.
Found the coin?
Yeah, I was standing in the like threshold of the door to the outside and
you do have neighbors.
I do have neighbors. And at that point, like there were neighbors that like talked on the phone pretty loudly. And you know, when someone's talking outside, you can't like hear what they're saying, but there's an echo. Like you can yes. basically hear that they're talking. It was completely quiet. There was not, I thought I was tripping and I was not on any type of drugs.
Except for weed.
Except for a little bit of weed. And
a lot of weed.
Yeah. I basically audibly, again, I'm a visual person. I don't hear things often and I'm going to sound crazy. I see things. I don't hear things. That makes it different.
Yeah, it's fine.
Anyway, I heard, hello? And
hello?
I was like.
In your first instinct, you thought Michael, right? Because we had just
yes.
talked about all the archangel
and
stuff.
And when I had this meditation 2 years ago, I very strongly felt the letter M was associated with this angel because in my meditation, I remember going, like almost like saying an M sound, but I never got the full name or word and I researched and that's whatever. But when I heard the hello, I initially felt Michael. And at first I was like, okay, like you're just a little stoned. Somebody's probably talking on their phone. So I stood out there for a minute listening for conversation and there was nothing. So I come inside and I tell Sarah this and I'm just like, not freaked out, but like that type of like what just happened.
Yeah. And I think you were like, I think it was Michael, but I'm probably crazy.
Yeah, I just felt kind of like we had been preparing for this ritual. We were just like vibing on all this energy. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm taking it a little too far.
And
like,
then you fucking find the coin.
And then we go outside to set up and I find the fucking coin. And it was insane. Just absolutely insane. So then we're doing this whole ritual. Again, we had really wanted this to go. Sarah's a Virgo and I'm just a perfectionist. So when you put that together in that type of setting, it's like nearly impossible to finish it in a way that we're both going to be satisfied. And not because we have conflicting opinions, but just because that's in our nature. Mm-hmm. So we had that type of energy involved in this too, in the midst of just casually summoning archangels. And while nothing was really going wrong, it wasn't, I don't think, going what we would consider right.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere,
I think I was still expecting some crazy shit to happen every time we do something like this.
Yeah, yeah. It was very, because it was still like kind of early in the witchcraft, our witchcraft journey together.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we were very much
this
waiting
is
for this.
Pre-red pill walk,
oh, my
wasn't
God.
It?
Yeah. This is like what we this is very folk magic-y, but also energy manipulation. So
no, this wasn't pre red pill walk because we did the Ouija board.
You're right. This was after the red pill walk.
Yeah,
but it was still like early as far as our first ritual. Because
I didn't start
goes.
Practicing until after I was red pilled. That's what pushed me to practice.
Right.
I had been
right.
reading, and I was too nervous to set anything up because I am a perfectionist.
Yeah. So we had gone about this whole evening and wanted it to be perfect, and then it started raining.
Just a little bit at first.
It was just slight, and then just downpour.
Yeah.
Total downpour, and we just started laughing hysterically.
Because, of course, that's just going to fuck everything up. And there had been, like, a little bit of thunder, but it was off in the distance. Like,
right.
It was still pretty clear
night.
And it
added to the ambiance. Like, it was kind of cool, but then it just started fucking raining. And
it like swooped in so fast.
Yeah. And I think I don't remember exactly where we were within our ritual at that time, but I do remember it being at a very like synchronistic point within our ritual. Yeah.
I think we were about to do some like paper. We were writing something on paper because the paper just fucking dissolved. And
oh, yeah. And we were trying to cut off pieces of our hair
and with the knife. Yeah. And we tried to stab our fingers. And
we were
that
trying
work.
To do.
I just wanted one little needle prick. Yeah. But none of our needles
were
sharp
like,
enough.
We were
going
to put blood on a paper and like burn it in a cup or something. And we literally sat there for probably, I don't even know how long we were trying to cut our fingers.
Yeah,
but like,
it just didn't work.
Jesus. Also, side story. So probably about 3 weeks after this is nothing to do with that night other than the fact that we had tried so hard to get blood to do this ritual. And nothing was happening. We couldn't cut our fingers. 3 weeks later, I'm cleaning out my blender, mistakenly cut my finger, and it starts gushing blood. And my first thought was, I need to go rub this on the ground outside where we were doing our ritual because this is the blood sacrifice that I was trying to attain. So I'm panicking because like I'm bleeding a pretty good amount, but all I'm concerned about is going out to where we did the ritual and putting my
rubbing
hand
on
the
tree.
Ground. And that's what I did. And then I came in and tended to the wound.
I love it.
That's just funny, but whatever.
Anyway, another part of the ritual that was involved was a protection spell that we did at the beginning around pretty much the whole house and the perimeter of where we were working that involved...
We have to do that here.
Yeah, no, for sure. But it involved cutting an apple in half, doing some bay leaf... spell, putting it back together and then burying it. And it kind of just put a protection on the grounds of the area. And I remember us doing it, but again, nothing was going quite right. And we didn't bury the apple deep enough. And like, we just felt like it wasn't going quite right. And then it starts raining. We get washed out. We move everything inside. So we decide to just break out the Ouija board and proceed to that part of the ritual that we were going to do. And when we're doing this, some of the first, and again, we are very protected. We are extremely divinely protected in this situation.
And intentional.
And we are using these tools in a way that is safe and that is conscious. If you just bust out a Ouija board, start using it, that's when the scary shit happens.
Don't do that.
Please don't do that. We had this protection spell that we had done, and even if the apple thing didn't go quite right, it's the intention that counts. And then we also had a circle cast around us when we were doing the Ouija board that had a special filter on it that only allowed in beings with true intentions that were not to harm us or lie to us.
And we had a salt circle.
Yeah, and we had a salt circle. So we were very divinely protected here. But one of the first beings that came through to talk to us was these fairies that said they were from the seventh dimension. And they thanked us for the fruit. They literally spelled out like fruit and then like T-Y, like thank you.
Crazy.
Yeah, and the
and we
next
asked
day,
where are you from? And it was just seven, right?
Yeah, 7D.
Yeah.
7D. Oh, yeah. And they spelled out faith, which is the word that fairy is derived from. And it was just, it was absolutely nuts. And then the next day, the food was all dug up and eaten.
Yep.
It was all just like completely gone. So something ate it. I'm gonna believe it was fairies. And we also made some other connections that was talking about some of the possible timelines we were on involving the food shortages and the squirrel that I found and stocking up, all these possibilities that were being thrown around at the time that we were producing this. And it was just absolutely nuts how confident the what's the thing called that you move on the Ouija board?
Oh, shit.
I forgot what it's called. But it moved so confidently, and neither Chas and I or I had any prepared answer for these questions that we were asking, you know? Like, we weren't deciding on this.
No, I think we were coming at it from a very honest state.
Yeah, I didn't move it and you didn't move it.
No. No. And ultimately our intention was moving it, right? Like, that's Ouija board is, it's a tool, and it's just like how your wand that you make doesn't have a lightning bolt coming out of it when you use it. The Ouija board isn't going to have this like smoke coming out of it. Like,
right.
Fucking.
But we were essentially letting spirits move our
for
hand.
Sure. For sure. But we were the catalyst for that movement.
Right.
So yes, we were moving it, but not from the state of
deceit
for one another.
Right.
I also remember, I don't know if you still have this audio clip anywhere, but if so, you should put it somewhere for us. At one point, I don't remember the question we asked, maybe you do, but the Ouija board spelled out cabal.
Oh, right.
And we basically just turned into hackling witches. Yeah. Because we were just like, what in the hell just
and
happened?
It spelled it with a K.
Yes.
Which Chas and I were both like, I thought we would have spelled that with a C.
At the same time, we said.
Yeah, we were both like, did you spell that? And you were like, no, did you? And you were like, no, I thought it was spelled with a C. And I was like, me too.
Yeah, so it was just really weird. But that was a really cool experience because I felt like that was the first time that you and I had really joined
connected.
Together
yeah.
energetically, I mean, to have an outcome, though, like a joint outcome.
Right.
And I mean, it even goes back to biblical things, you know, where two or three are gathered and there I in my name, there I will be also. So I mean, we summoned the higher energies because we were gathering in the name of that.
Yeah, holy shit. Yeah, there was so much that happened that night. I think we were up till like 4 a.m. that night.
Oh my God, so late.
So much stuff.
I think the sun was rising actually when you left.
Yeah. Your husband came home and he was like, she's driving home? Damn. Like, because it was just so late.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did come home.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And he was so supportive. He was like, this is really cool.
He like came over to the circle and was like, oh, this is okay. Like, he's the best. He's the best.
So cute. I love it. Yeah. And then, so let's just talk about wands for a second, because wands can be something that it's like, do I buy a wand? What is a wand? So when I started, I really wanted to get a wand because I wanted a like physical tool that I made to work with. So I found a piece of wood in our yard. It was of an apple tree, and the tree was already dead, and I energetically felt if I was allowed to take this. It was very respectful, and I completely scraped it free of the bark. I let it dry out, and I wrapped a handle using hemp wick around the base, and then I attached a crystal to the top using glue and metal twine, metal wire wrap stuff. And it's very amateur. It's not anything special, but it's the intention and the energy that was put into it. And then the consecration that was put behind it. And I bought silk to wrap it in, and I keep it upon my altar, which is right now. I mean, I've always had it dedicated to the four elements because I'm a very Virgo earth element person. So the earth, the four elements of this realm are very important to me. So that is an energy that I like to always keep cultivated. So I have a crystal that represents earth, a feather that represents air, a candle that represents fire, and a cup of water that represents obviously water that are on my altar. And then my wand sits near there. My cauldron sits near there. I have a box of pennies that sit near there. Which is another thing that I practice on a regular basis. Every time I find a heads up penny, I pick it up and I say to myself, I say it out loud too, so I probably sound nuts, but I say, find a penny, pick it up all day long, you'll have good luck. And
which
then I
is
say,
a spell.
Yeah, it's a spell. And then I put it in my shoe. And then when I get home, I put it in this box on my altar. And then if I need to make a decision, I use one of those pennies to flip and make a decision for. Or if I need luck, I'll carry one in my shoe. And if I find one tails up, I flip it upside down and put tails up, and then I don't take it.
Yeah. Couple of things that you had mentioned that I definitely don't want to forget to touch on. One, if you have an altar and you're building one, it's important that you maintain it. If you leave your altar unused for a period of time, that's just stagnant energy. So it's important to keep the energy moving at all times.
Right. I always refill my water as it evaporates and
meditate at it, sage it. Like, just make sure, even if you're not doing full out rituals at your altar every day, do something to make sure that you are honoring that space because it is sacred. Even if that, and that leads me into consecration. So consecration is something that you can do over and over and over again. So I didn't make my wand. My wand was made for me by my aunt that I was talking about earlier. And I picked out the branch myself and then mailed it, and she made it and then sent it back to me. And now I have my wand, and I still consecrated that for me. She did a consecration ceremony for it when she made it, and then I did one consecrating it as my tool. So consecration ceremonies are something that I like to use when I want to rededicate a space, or even just like raise the vibrations of a space that I haven't been in a while. It's important to cleanse your tools often, and when you are recharging them, which is a form of consecration, I feel like, in a way. So yeah, just those things I wanted to mention while you had said them.
For sure. Awesome. Yeah. No. And then another thing we both do on a regular basis is like shower rituals. Using the elements in its physical forms to cleanse us is amazing. I mean, even going to beaches and lakes and
water
pools
cleanses
even.
Your aura. Yeah. When you submerge yourself, it cleanses your aura.
Or forests. Going on a walk in the forest.
Forest bath.
Yeah, those earth energy things. This kind of leads us into the conversation of different types of witches and different types of magic, because there are different elemental witches. So there are earth witches, fire witches, air witches, water witches, and you can identify really strongly with one of those elements, and you can also work with all four. You can be a nature witch in general. You can be a kitchen witch. You can be a garden witch or a green witch. You can be a ritual magician or a chaos magician. There's so many different forms of magic and practices of magic that you would have to really choose one that resonates with you and dive into it specifically. But if you are someone who's really drawn to water, work with water. If you are someone who's really drawn to plants, work with plants. If you're someone who's really drawn to crystals, work with crystals. They're all just different types of magic, and they're all the same kind of magic. Sigil magic is one that Chas and I really, really love. Sigils are where you make a symbol out of a sentence. I believe I've talked about this in the past.
Yeah, you broke it down in one of the episodes, like specifically how to make one.
Yeah, so I won't repeat that specifically, but we use that on a regular basis. Chas and I will draw it on our feet or our ankles if we need a certain type of protection or a certain boost, or if we want to focus, we'll use certain sigils. We put sigils on places, on pieces of paper, and in our cars, all over the place.
Everywhere.
Candle magic is another one that I really enjoy working with. It's where you cleanse and charge a candle to a certain intention, and then you burn that candle, so the candle starts to cultivate its own energy, and then that energy can be used towards your intention. You can carve the side of a candle. You can anoint it with oil and coat it in herbs. All these herbs can have certain intentions that you want to use to boost your certain magic ritual. There's so many different ways you can practice magic, and we'll get to more practical stuff in a minute. But first, let's talk about stuff that is going to you come across every day and in your life, and even just as a regular person, that's definitely witchcraft. So find a penny, pick it up. That's I'm sure you've heard that before. Again, that's a spell. Birthday candles, make a wish, blow these candles out. That's a That's a fucking spell. And it's a wish. So it's not a intention because it's just a wish. So it's not important. You're not actually supposed to blow out your candles. So if you blow them out, you're just kind of blowing the energy willy-nilly, which is why it's just a wish. If you pinch or snuff out your candles, you're keeping that energy within your space. You're not just blowing it away.
Right.
And using that elemental air to blow it away. Energy shielding is something that Chas and I use on a regular basis. It's not something you're going to find in your everyday life like a birthday candle is, but Chas and I put up energetic protections. Again, you can do that using sigils, but you can also do that like by visualizing a shield around you.
Yep.
You can use that by visualizing a mirror around you, depending on the situation. Spells are words.
Yeah.
So words are spells. That's why it's called spelling. Another thing I have written down under this category is golden key. So the essay by Emmett Fox called The Golden Key, it's fantastic. But it is a spell that Chas and I use on a regular basis that is a way to clear your mind and realign yourself with a higher purpose when you feel frustrated or have a difficult situation at hand with another person or with yourself. This involves thinking, I'm going to golden key myself, or I'm going to golden key this person, or I'm going to golden key this situation, and then thinking of nothing but God after that. And I love that. Love.
Yeah.
I love that because it's God is source. I usually say God is love, God is love, God is love. And again, you just think of if it's a parent, your significant other, a job, you think, I'm going to golden key this situation. You're just feeling anxious. I'm going to golden key myself. And then you say, God is love. God is love. And you focus on only that.
Yep.
And that helps clear your aura and clear your energy so you feel truly cleansed of that situation. And it's incredible how powerful this spell is.
And mind is karma. So by doing that, you are sending good karma out to the individual, to yourself, to whatever the situation is. I think God is love is a great one. Sometimes I'll just even repeat, I love you, I love you, I love you over and over and over again.
You could even say, may the force be with me. Like literally anything that resonates with you.
It's just the whole concept of surrounding whatever situation, person may be causing you frustration in the highest form of love and God, and knowing that they are that form just as you are. And so it's kind of just yoking you to the situation and raising your vibrations to be able to transcend out of that state of frustration in the 3D realm.
Yeah, for sure. And we've already touched on this, and let's just touch on it a little more explicitly now. And that is why this all works. And I mean, this whole podcast is pretty much why this all works and why we think it's important for you to think about this stuff. But this witchcraft and these spells, these candle magics, these herb spells, these work for a variety of reasons. One of those reasons being the collective unconscious. So
yep.
Collectively, our ancestors, and when I say our, I mean everyone, every person ever, their ancestors in the past have made these rituals and these ideas and these concepts, and they have believed them so deeply that they have become infallibly real. They are absolutely existent and they have definitions. These definitions can be more fluid than a definition in your average dictionary.
Yeah.
For example, the metaphysical properties of herbs. Sage is very cleansing. Basil is very lucky. Parsley can be very protective. But clove is way more protective, very heavily protective. So these definitions can change. Basil can also be used for less than fertility. Parsley can also be used for less than fertility. It depends on which energy resonates the best with you, which frequency.
Yeah.
So the frequencies behind these herbs, our ancestors have identified them best for this, that, or the other thing. And these information on what herb is best for what has been passed down over time, and the beliefs behind these herbs make the associations real. Now, not only that, there is also a lot of medicinal properties behind these. The vitamin nutritional value of these herbs coincides with their metaphysical properties often as well. So again, St. John's wort, it's chemically known to boost serotonin, and it is metaphysically known to boost positivity and promote energetic well-being. So those are two things that really correspond. Another thing is attention goes where energy flows. That's why you can make a fucking spell up on the spot and nobody has ever done this shit ever before, and it could still work. Because right. if you're putting all that energy into that shit, doesn't matter if your ancestors believed in it or not. If you believe in it, that's going to work just as well. But it helps when you have hundreds and thousands of ancestors who also believe it, standing behind your back. It's like that episode of Avatar where he turns around and he sees all his ancestors standing behind him. It's exactly that.
Yeah. And you have that all the time, whether you are engaging in it or not. And when you do engage in it, it just makes your spell work that much more powerful.
Right. And also, having just done the simulation episode, your base reality and the output of the base reality responds to your input. So our inputs are our spells. Our inputs are our thoughts. Our inputs are our intentions. So if we are putting intentions out there through mixing herbs and doing witchy, quote unquote, witchy things, that's our input. If we're putting our inputs by just playing video games and ignoring everything around us, that's our input. It just matters what you're doing with that energy. And if you're putting all your energy in the news and putting it where someone points, that's your energy. And you're choosing to let somebody else direct your attention and your and energy, which is your magic.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a little wrap about our basic Stoner Witch 101, like how to start practicing. So if there's anybody listening to this thinking, I would love to introduce some kind of magic like this into my life. Again, if you're a guy, a girl, if you're interested in ritual magic and Aleister Crowley and all this occultism shit, or if you're interested in aesthetic witch magic and herbs and cauldron and wand work, there's value in all of it. So I highly recommend you try not to gender or stereotype any of this information. And if you're interested in any of this, this is what we would recommend doing first.
Yeah.
So first is you really don't need to spend a lot of money. If you're going to spend money on anything at first, buy books. Books, read.
Read just everything.
Read a lot of shit.
Read everything. And start your book of shadows, because that's going to be a really good documentation source for your journey. And it's going to show your growth and different revelations that you've had along the way.
And that can be a notebook from the dollar store.
Literally a spiral notebook for 99 cents.
If you're going to buy anything, buy a book of shadows. Buy one you're going to use and one that you like. But just start reading and taking notes and really studying witchcraft, the history of witchcraft, how you can use witchcraft, different types of witchcraft. We have a bajillion books to recommend. I have a few of them written down. Again, Psychic Witch, The Encyclopedia of Witchcraft. I recommend The Kybalion and Mystical Kabbalah for spiritual reference and understanding. Anything by Manly P. Hall, anything by Aleister Crowley, but keep in mind that he is very much a dark occultist and leans towards the dark side. So as long as you're aligned with the light, he has a lot to teach, but I would not recommend following in his footsteps. So just disclaimer there, but he does have a lot of literature out there. Anything by McGregor Mathers, anything by Carl Jung. I mean, even Jordan Peterson talks about alchemy and stuff. Any of the alchemical authors, I don't even know any off the top of my head, but lots of books. There's so many fucking books out there.
Yeah.
I would steer clear of, honestly, a lot of the modern books. There are a lot of them that are just kind of very shallow information. They just look pretty and cool. but they don't contain a lot of gut information. Really do research on where you're getting your books. So these are books that I can solidly recommend, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend everything you're going to find in your local crystal shop. So keep that in mind. But if you want to spend money, if you're like, bitch, no, I got money to spend. I want to spend some money on this shit. So I would recommend setting up an altar can be big or little. Mine is the teeny tiniest thing. I don't have a lot of space right now. Anything, any shelf. It can be one shelf on a bookshelf. It can be a table. It can be something you can sit crisscross at. It can be a desk. It can be anything you can possibly fit in, but it is just a dedicated spiritual area that you maintain to do spiritual work. So I can't even really kneel at my altar. I just kind of sit on the ground near it and it works for me. I keep, again, just a couple crystals, a candle, a cup of water. Mine is dedicated to the four elements. You can dedicate it to certain goddesses or gods that you would like. I'd like to take this moment to identify the difference between awake and woke witches. I used to be a part of a lot of witchy Facebook groups, and there's a lot of woke witches out there who do not have their eyes on the highest truth. And they get caught up with all the gods and goddesses underneath the one true God. And although I believe their existence and their energy is very useful, I think, one, there's a lot of these source divine energies that have multiple different names. So any gods that are associated with the planets are going to be the same elemental energy as the other archangels that are associated with this planet. So it's all the same thing. I don't believe there's like an Apollo and all these, like every version of every god. I don't necessarily believe that's how that works. So a lot of new age woke witches can get caught up in like, oh, I found this goddess. She's the best goddess. I follow this goddess now.
Right.
But if you're awake and you know the energy of that goddess is what you're truly following, then sure, dedicate your altar to Aphrodite or whatever goddess or god calls to you, or Hecate or whatever. But know what you're doing. Don't
For sure.
always know that there's one true God. And if you're trying to cultivate energy of a certain God or of a certain planet or of a certain type to cultivate a certain spell, to cultivate a certain manifestation or a certain output, just know what you're doing. So yeah. There's that disclaimer. You can put candles on your altar. I recommend doing research on crystals that might resonate with you and might serve certain energetic purposes for you.
I put dead bugs on mine.
Yeah, dead bugs that you find. Try not to kill them, but I mean.
Oh, no, I find them dead. Yeah. I don't kill them for my altar. I also have, like my, I've mentioned my father who passed away, that has a pretty big part of my spiritual journey. I have his watch. I have a charm that was my grandma's. So my altar isn't necessarily dedicated to
any. It can be dedicated to your ancestors.
It's dedicated to like that ancestral collective knowledge to which I identify as God, because all of us are a part of that. So my altar is very much dedicated to what I'm going to be doing at it, which is growing my spirituality, growing my knowledge, cleansing my energy. So my altar is definitely more dedicated towards intention versus like a person. But I think that's what makes all of this so great, is it's totally up to you. And don't feel like because you've never done it that you can't. It's all, magic is always there all the time. You are magic. You are the entire universe. You are God. So whether you are using a spiral notebook or you have like a crazy cool wand that someone made for you, and it doesn't matter your tool, the intention is what matters behind it.
Absolutely. I'd also recommend investing in a good chunky salt. Salt is very useful. I like chunky pink Himalayan salt or chunky Celtic salt or sea salt, any kind of thick chunky salt that you can use on a regular basis. I use it in the shower for cleansing, just rub it all over your body. I use it to cleanse crystals, and my I wear a protection necklace every day. That's just a very simple necklace that I have charmed for protection, and I place it in a bowl of salts at the end of every day. I recommend investing in some herbs. These can be literally from the grocery store, and I'm talking dried herbs like from the spice rack. You can get basil, parsley, sage, all kinds of stuff, rosemary, that are literally just available, clove, nutmeg. These all have different certain properties that you can use in certain spells, spell bags.
And you can even incorporate, like, I have a friend who she smokes spliffs, but she incorporates a whole herbal
right,
blend.
Put
in
lavender
her
in your
and it's very ceremonial for her, which I can totally appreciate and get down with. I mean, we've talked about that even with just a simple act of packing a bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about stoner witch. It's kind of
blessing your herb.
It's a ritual. I mean, even praying over your food, that's a spell that we didn't really talk about.
Oh yeah.
But it's all
and making food, kitchen witchery. So you can buy these herbs and when you're cooking,
infuse your food.
Yeah.
Draw a pentagram with your friggin' basil herbs or whatever all over your food.
And there's like, if you, there's different ways you could do the pentagram. You can put so many layers, and this is just putting layers on the intention, which is going to eventually cultivate that energy more specifically. So the more layers you put on it, as long as there's reasons behind it and you're not just throwing it out there willy-nilly. Like if you're doing a clockwise pentagram, which is associated with bringing things in, and you're using basil, which is associated with good luck, and you're making a pesto that you're going to put on a sandwich that also has honey, which is going to sweeten the deal. You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of intentions we're talking about here. So invest in herbs, look into different types of magic that you'd be interested in. Again, I really love candle magic. Colored pillar candles on Amazon are really cheap. They're really not that expensive at all. But ultimately, just be present. Be aware of what the fuck is going on around you. Be aware of what your body feels.
And know that you can access it at any given time.
Yeah. And being aware of your energetic body, being fully present in all of your fingertips and toes, every inch of your body, feeling that spirit there, and meditate.
You sent me this meme the other day, and I feel like it's great to talk about right now, but you don't have to do a full out ritual to do this witchcraft practice. The meme said something along the lines of planning to do this whole thought out ritual with all these incorporated steps, and then you just end up sitting on the couch in your underwear saying mantra, smoking a joint. So I mean, it's all of the same source energy, and you don't have to. I mean, it's great to do these rituals if that's something that you feel strengthens your ability to connect with your higher self and the higher good, but it's not necessary to practice witchcraft.
No, especially not in this modern age, because we have all this information at our fingertips. So I feel like if back in the day when these secret societies were very, very prevalent, and they were the ones who truly held this knowledge, and they were doing all these occult rituals to higher lift their consciousness, and they believed that was the true way to do it. I think that if they had the internet, they would have been like, oh, everybody can just do this.
Right.
This is way easier. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we don't need to go through all this. We can just talk about it and then like just get a wake up together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like in this day and age, we have this very special ability to just create easier and more accessible ways of doing these things. You don't necessarily need mandrake root from the forest that has been growing for 14 days and shape it in the shape of a baby. You don't like need to go through all these steps, or you don't need to hire a witch doctor to heal you. Like modern medicine is awesome in emergency situations.
For sure.
So we exist in a world that we don't have to worry about minor things like that witchcraft might have been something you had to turn to, or something that you were accused of, or like, we know you can't just reanimate the dead, apparently. But so you can't just like accuse somebody of being a witch. You know what I mean? Like, I saw her bring a dog back to life. She must be a witch. You know what I mean? You can't just like say shit like that anymore. So we just live in a very unique time where none of those previous issues when it comes to magic are as much of an issue. Now, I mean, censorship and discrediting someone who might believe in this, that's an issue in its own. But with the internet, we're going to find the people who understand this, who are willing to understand this. And that's all that really matters, is waking up your tribe. And
censorship is kind of like the modern day like witch trials.
Oh, for sure. Book burning. Yeah. Taking Twitter posts down and shit. That is, this is the book burning. Yeah, for sure. Well, that's all the notes I have. Do you have anything to add to the witchy episode?
No, I think it'll be really interesting to plan out future episodes for this based on feedback from listeners or even just ideas that we have too.
Yeah.
So if there is anything that you want to hear specifically in regards to witchcraft, history lesson, or anything at all, I think that would be really cool to do an episode and deep dive. I definitely want to do a history episode on it. So That'll happen one day.
I was going to say, if you've made it this far, send us a message. You can do that on our website or on Instagram. Either one is awesome. But send us a message on your perspective of witchcraft. You can also comment on any of our posts on Instagram if you prefer that way. I want to hear what your perspective on witchcraft is, and if you had a understanding of what we're talking about going into this episode, and if that perspective has changed at all going into this. Did we say anything that you didn't know? Were you like, no, I watched The Craft and went down that rabbit hole a long time ago. This is no news to me, but it was fun to listen to. Like, what's your perspective on this? I'd love to know just like the baseline knowledge of the people who are actually listening to these episodes and making it all the way to the end. What is your understanding when it comes to witchcraft or to any of these subjects that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to hear your background knowledge. So please reach out to us on Instagram or our website. That would be so cool to hear from you guys. So excited for everything moving forward. There's
it's like
just
a little awake, not woke coven.
Yeah, no, literally. I love it. I'd love to hear if anybody has any practices they've already done or been a part of or had successful. It'd be really cool to eventually have episodes where we like share a lot of comments from people who have similar stories to our stories, you know. That would be really cool. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next time.
See ya. Bye.